Hello there. I'm Danny Marsden. Murder's been my beat for a long time here at the Mid-City Sentinel. It was exciting stuff, and I loved it. I used to think there was nothing more exciting under the sun. And then, not long ago, the chief called me into his office.
Danny, I'm taking you off the murder beat. I've got bigger work for you to do. Murder is sensational stuff, but it's pretty unimportant compared to the big things that affect everyone's lives every day. Don't you agree?
Well, I argued, of course, but my chief is quite a persuasive guy. And now most every week when I come to my desk, I find my assignment scrawled in the chief's handwriting. And when the boss starts writing notes, he really means business. Well, maybe one reason I like the new job is the fact that the boss gave me a full-time assistant. And as an assistant, Nellie McCoy's the real McCoy. Nellie, what's the missive from the master today?
The chief said his fluent best in this one, Danny. It's kind of long. Reads like one of his editorials.
No, let's hear it.
Well, he starts out, "The Mid-City Sentinel has pointed out many times that the Canadian worker is better off than workers in other parts of the world. But that's not good enough. He wants to be even better off, and I don't blame him. But the worker isn't the only one who wants a better deal. I'd like a raise myself, and so would you, eh, Danny?"
Well, the boss might think that's a joke now, but he's uttering words of wisdom.
Let me finish. "The stockholders in the Sentinel would like more profits, too. Everybody wants more, and that's legitimate enough. And that, Danny, is your assignment. I want you to look at every angle of this triangle. Labor, consumer, investor, and in the center, management. And I want you to come up with the answer everyone is looking for. How do we create more prosperity and more happiness for them all?" Gee, Danny, he's not asking much, is he?
How do we create more prosperity and more happiness for them all? Nellie, I don't know the answer yet, but if you and I can find it, I've already got the headlines figured out.
Hadn't you better wait until we find the answer? It looks like a tough one to me.
Oh, we'll have a two-column spread in heavy type. We'll call it the Triangle of Plenty. And under that will be my byline, and then in slightly smaller letters, "Research by Nellie McCoy."
Research by me? Danny, I don't know anything about research.
No, research, honey, is just another word for asking questions. And that makes you a research expert. I want you to haunt the stores and find out what the shoppers, that's the consumers in the chief's high phone language, are saying. I'll cover labor and management.
There's nothing I'd like better. I can try on a few hats.
Oh, that's a woman for you. The world's looking for an answer to its problem, and you want to try on hats.
Oh, Floorwalker, I'm Nellie McCoy of the Mid-City Sentinel. We're doing an article about shoppers. Can you tell me what's going on over at that counter where all the women are milling around?
Mayhem, madam. Mayhem. That's what's going on. We advertise a shipment of high-grade hosiery at 90 cents a pair, and 9 out of 10 women will commit murder to get a pair of them for herself.
Gee, I don't blame them. That's a big saving. Out of my way.
Oh, just a minute, miss. I thought you were here to write an article. Phew, what a beautiful flying tackle. And such a ladylike-looking girl, too.
Hey, buddy, I'm Danny Marsden from the Mid-City Sentinel. How long have you been on this picket line?
Too long, mister.
Look, can you slip away for a coffee at Jones?
Well, sure. Yeah, sure thing. Hey, Bill. Bill. So that's the way it is, Mr. Marsden.
Oh, call me Danny.
There just doesn't seem to be any answer. I get $1 an hour on the plant, King Hosiery, see? Management says that because of competition, our prices can't be raised. And I'm getting all that the business can pay. The stockholders are getting nothing. Up until a month ago, the plant was just carrying on, hoping for a break. And management was stalling off the directors and the stockholders.
Yeah? And then what?
Well, another plant started underselling us with a line of equal quality.
Well, that puts your plant in quite a spot.
Sure. The directors have been chasing the manager, and the foreman put the heat on us right down the line. And the whole thing happened just when our union put in its bid for a wage increase. The boss said he couldn't pay it. And here we are, on the picket line.
Well, you don't think there's going to be trouble, huh?
No, I don't think you'll get any kind of a story of that kind, Danny. We got a leaflet from the boss yesterday. He's been burning the midnight oil, he said. Says if we'll go back to work at the old rate tomorrow, he thinks he's worked out an answer that'll be satisfactory to everyone. The committee's meeting tonight, and the rumor is we'll be back in the shop tomorrow and see what comes up.
Are you optimistic?
A little bit. I want that raise, and I kind of think it'll come.
Oh, but isn't that a tough problem for management? Oh, it's got to pull three rabbits out of a hat. More for you and more for the stockholders and cheaper hosiery for the shoppers.
I still think it's worth going in there and pitching. I'm willing to give management a crack at it, Denny.
Good luck to you. Well, Nellie, we've made a start on this thing anyway. Say, what happened to you?
Never mind me, Danny. Just say I got roughed up in some research.
Well, you look like you've been run over by a steamroller.
It was much worse than that. But look at these stockings I picked up for 90 cents.
As a guy I know wouldn't think too much of that. Now, let's see. So far, I've found that a factory which is making no profit is a dismal place. Without profit, the worker gets no increase in pay. Without profit, the stockholders get no dividends. When there's no profit, the poor old manager is being chased from every corner. The workers want increases he can't give them. Investors want some return on their money, which he can't give them. Well, what did you find out in your corner, Nellie? What's the consumer's problem?
I ran into a few of those consumers, Danny, but hard. Let me put it this way. Shoppers, especially the female of the species, are absolutely heartless. They're strictly for bigger packages at lower prices and let the chips fall where they may. And they'll switch their trade overnight to the nearest competitor to save a nickel.
Okay. And I've got another research job for you.
Danny, even for you, I don't like to risk my life.
So, Nellie, this time you're going to research the other side of the picture. I want you to go and talk to an investor. Now, this is Jean Rinaldi, 42 West Orchard Street. She's a widow. Has 500 shares of stock in a hosiery company I'm interested in. Well, that and a small annuity is all her husband left her when he died a couple of years back.
Couldn't I get away from stockings this time, Danny?
Now, remember, kid, it's going to look good in print. Research by Nellie McCoy.
I'd rather go dancing at the Ritz.
And when you get to see Mrs. Rinaldi, take these stockings along, won't you? I think she'll be interested.
Yes, that's right, Miss McCoy. Look at them. 500 shares. Nearly everything poor Joe had. And they're just paper. Just paper.
Why don't you sell them?
Sell them? Who'll buy part of a factory that's making no profits? Who'll buy part of a factory when the men ain't even working? They're on strike.
They only want more money, Mrs. Rinaldi.
I want some money, too. Land sakes, I don't know what I'm going to live on. I wrote the manager, but what does he tell me? No one's buying our hosiery. That's a fine thing.
Speaking of hosiery, Mrs. Rinaldi, look at these. I got them for 90 cents.
For 90 cents? Let me see them. What store? Do you think they'd have any left? Maybe a phone for a pair, COD.
Now, I have a few more questions.
After. You'll excuse me just for 1 minute. I want to use the phone. What store did you say?
Now, Mr. Johnson, I'm a reporter from the Mid-City Sentinel. I've been covering the story of the strike. Any comments?
The strike is over. An hour ago, I persuaded the workers to go back to the job tomorrow morning. I think I have a solution that will satisfy all concerned.
Oh, brother, if you have, you're a magician. How can you raise pay, make profits, and give the customers better hosiery at a lower price? If you can tell me that, you'll have given me all I need to complete the story.
The answer to our problem has to come in two ways. First, a willingness on the part of the workers to produce more and better goods per man hour. Second, a willingness on the part of investors to put more money and more equipment into the plant. I've been able to convince our directors that the men who work in this plant are good, skilled workmen who will do their best to help us make profits, now that they understand the problem. Within a month, because of new additional equipment and a new understanding of the problem, our plant capacity will be greatly increased, and our unit cost will be considerably lower. The result will be that we can sell our product at a lower price, thus meeting competition. And by placing our goods within the reach of more people, we increase our sales. We can afford to pay higher wages, and we'll still have enough to give the investor a fair return on the money he or she risked.
Wait a minute. That sounds like magic money.
Marsden, there's nothing magic about it. That's exactly the way our free enterprise economy has been able to constantly increase the workers' wages and at the same time produce more and better goods at lower prices. It's the only way the standard of living in any country can be increased.
In other words, in order to get more dollars into the triangle, you've got to get more hosiery into it.
Exactly.
The funny thing is that you're all after the same thing, a better living. Why is there so much fighting and so much distrust? You all seem like decent, reliable, worthwhile people, if you don't mind me saying so.
Thanks, Mr. Marsden. Perhaps management and labor leaders both need to take some of the blame. Nearly all our trouble lies either in misunderstanding of our economic system or in being provoked by crackpots, or worse, who have no other idea but to get us at each other's throats. We all need to remember that what we're all after, all real Canadians, is a better living and more happiness for everyone who lives here.
Yes, Chief. You called for me?
Yes, Danny. There's not very often I hand out compliments around here. You know that.
I do, Chief. I do for sure.
I want to tell you, Danny, this piece of yours called The Triangle of Plenty is one of the best things we ever published. I like the 2 points you made at the end. One, every Canadian with a dollar should try to put some of it into the capital corner to buy new and better equipment for the labor force. Two, every Canadian with brain or brawn or both should get busy in the labor corner and make that new and better equipment produce more units of everything and produce them cheaper. It's just as simple as that. Just a triangle of human beings behaving humanly in Canadian freedom. This triangle of plenty can take us to an even greater freedom. That's great stuff, Danny.
Oh, Chief, you flatter me. And as you know, when a man gets big-headed, his cost of living goes up. He does things like taking his secretary dancing at the Ritz. The way I look at
it... Now, get out of here, Danny Marsden. You'll not get another raise out of me until this series is finished. You're a highway robber.
Okay, Chief, okay.
You say Miss McCoy likes dancing at the Ritz?
Now, look, Chief, you lay off that girl. She's all mine.
Now, calm yourself, Danny. I'm a married man. But now that you're a member of our editorial staff instead of a mere ace reporter, my wife and I thought you and Nellie might be our guests for dinner and dancing tonight. Okay?
Okay. On one condition.
What's that?
Keep it out of the society news. The boys ever found out I was dining with you at the Ritz, they'd expect me to pay back my loan.